just enough chill in the air and maybe some dust and exhaust. But I love it because it means it's harvest time. The bins are all cleaned out, or should be. The service techs are all highly caffeinated, and it's time to get to it. And we're coming along for the ride. Welcome to the Harvest Trail Podcast, where we're going to meet up with some of the heroes of the harvest and tell their stories in hopes that when we're through, we're all a little bit smarter. And now to the show. Welcome back to the Harvest Trail Podcast. We are joined today by Jay Funky, Del Clay Equipment. Is it Del Clay Equipment or Del Clay Implement?
Del Clay Farm Equipment.
Del Clay Farm Equipment, Edgewood, Iowa. Jay, welcome to the program.
Well, Jeff, it's good to hear from you again.
Well, so tell me, it's getting a little busy out there. What's the 411?
Well, we have everybody running pretty hard right now. As you're well aware of, we had a late start in the spring, so we were back about 2 weeks, which has delayed us right now. Normally, we would have probably been in a real full swing probably about 10 days ago, but we really just got going here probably about 5 days ago. And they're going hard and fast. The weatherman has given them a window here of another 10 days of good weather. And I would expect that probably within the next, 3 to 7 days that we won't have any soybeans left in the field out here.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense. So they're in the beans now, is what you're saying.
Yeah. A little bit of corn coming out. I read some information from one of my seed reps yesterday. They had done a little traveling in northeast Iowa. We only have maybe 5 to 10% of the corn out of the field.
Yeah. Yeah. And understandable, you know, we can wait on the corn, but if the weather's going to be here in a couple of days, got to get to it.
That's exactly right.
Now, this year, you know, has some of its own peculiarities. How's that translated into crop differences, or has it? And you know, now you're getting a chance to start to see stuff coming through the machine, registering on the yield monitor. Are we seeing the different things that have happened through this year translating now into what you're dealing with?
Yes. We have been very fortunate this year. If you want to talk about the garden spot in the country, it is where Del Clay is located. We are in Delaware County, right across the line from Clayton County. And if you would have listened to U.S. Ag Report when they were doing the crop tour, they told you that garden spot started at Highway 20 and North in Iowa, and they are being very accurate. We've been very blessed this year. So we had timely rain. We had reasonable weather, good weather at pollination, and our crop is showing it from here. I've talked to a lot of my friends, and they haven't been quite as blessed. But I can tell you, last night I was in the combine. We got our beans done on Saturday night, cleaned up the combine Sunday, got started doing a little bit of corn and got into a little area. I was not in what I would call my best ground, but I was in a very good area of the field, and it was not uncommon to see that yield monitor going in there, you know, reading a 270, 275, wow. And I got out of that particular area, the overall average was 244.
Wow. Wow. You know, and when you get in this very heavy crop like this, what are your, does the machine dynamic change? Does what your, how you're harvesting have to change? And not only that, is that now we're changing the game about taking it away from the field. How are you responding to these, pretty serious yields?
Well, yeah. And to your point, exactly. We had to be planning. We actually were looking at what we thought would be a better crop. Starting in that June, July timeframe, we had some real timely rains and looked better. So on our side, we did some things to improve our drying capacity because we had lost another bend site, so we kind of needed to out of necessity. But we're very glad we did that right now, and we have sold some grain to the elevator, and we're trying to deliver it while other people are doing soybeans to get it in early so that we don't get caught where they get full.
Huh. You know, some of the you know, different conditions around the country. We had Mitch Merz on here just recently talking about how dusty his harvest is. You didn't have the same, you had a lot more fortune with weather. What are the unique conditions around just the harvesting condition itself?
To that point, we also now are dry. The dusty conditions, first off, every day, clean your air filter. Every day. Don't matter whether, we always do it in soybeans, but even in corn right now, we are taking that air filter out and blowing it out. We keep two around so that we have one on the ground that somebody's blowing it out while we're putting the fresh one in. You need to be a little more cautious. Last night, I noticed on the top of the feeder house, the stalks have a tendency to want to pile up there anyway, how dry and how easy it would to be combustible. I think that fire is something that a person needs to be very conscious of. Make sure you have a good fire extinguisher in the cab of your combine. That could save you lots of money.
Good advice. Good advice. Tell us, what lineup are you running right now on your own harvest? What are you bringing in the crop with? What are you getting it away from the field with? What are you happy with? What are you less happy with? And, you know, Del Clay is heavily known for use of technology. What is what your son-in-law got wired up in that combine that you're testing this year?
Well, we have a Gleaner S68 combine that we have with an ag leader monitor. It is the 1200 in-command monitor. So we can do split screens. We can look at where the every, you know, land is, or like my son wants to call it, where the pinch rows are at. So we can get into the field about anywhere we want. We have variety tracking on our monitor. So as we are going across the field, and it we automatically switch varieties, the monitor does that for us. We don't have to stop and program in a number. I was talking to my oldest son, who is a precision specialist for John Deere, and he was explaining to me that in the John Deere system, they have to download it onto a zip drive and then load it back into the monitor. Our monitor already has it there.
Nice.
It's just wonderful. It tracks moisture. It tracks yield. We have a map that tells us the area of the field that was the best yield, the area of the field where it was a little poorer. So hopefully we can take that information to our fertilizer and seed people, and they can help recommend products to our, improve our yield.
At the very least, you can win bets, right? You know, because you can show them right there on the map and be like, well, you know, last year what you promised was.
Well, and to that point, Jeff, our combine has a repair that's having to be done. I have always been a believer that we put everybody else's combine through the shop before mine gets in. And so I am using a R62 right now to get going, but it already had the technology on it. And we didn't want to run it without having our ag leader monitor, because we value that information so greatly.
So you're going old school in the 62. Tell me you have the solar glass set up.
Yes, I have.
Oh my goodness. You're like a traveling aquarium with the solar glass.
It'll cook off a little pounds there.
tell the neighbors you're going vintage. You need to go and get your bib overalls on and get your get an old Alice Chalmers hat. Tell them you're going vintage.
Well, I wish you could have seen me last night, because I did have overalls on and I did have an Agco hat on.
There you go. There you go. You're gonna look like one of those promotional films from the 80s. Yep. So, you know, we've had such an incredible year for a good year for grain prices, reflective of how the prices are. And now that you're getting a good sense of what these yields are going to look like, has it changed your marketing strategy? Have you modified it as the year has gone on?
You know, we were one of these people that didn't have enough storage on the farm. And so when we saw that things were going to be profitable, we sold into it.
Okay.
So we have about half of our crop sold, you know, for delivery at harvest. And our average price is, I believe, $602.
Nice.
So when you look at that versus our market. Actually, last night we could have been at $7 delivered by this weekend. You know, the bids are very. If you can get it here by Friday, you can get $7. Otherwise, it's $6.75 or $6.50. This is one of those years. The pre-selling looks like you didn't know what you were doing.
Yeah.
But the other side of it is, and one of the people that helped me get started in business always told me, you'll never go broke with a profit. So we sold it to a profit. We will continue to do that. We're going to have about 40% of our crop available that, you know, with a little gunpowder on it, but maybe we'll see that $7.50 range. It's hard to say on this marketing, but yes, I'm doing a lot of reading and listening to people to try and get their thoughts and ideas.
You know, a lot of farmers are going to end up with some extra money this year, and the supply of what they can buy is, we just don't know. But considering what's out there, and I know that you study what can be added to the farm to add to productivity and efficiency in the future. What should the farmers be looking at? What do you got to sell, and what's the biggest bang? What's the top three bang for your buck items that they can invest in this year to really make a difference in the years to come?
Well, Jeff, you can probably already guess the first place I'm going to go.
The planter.
You know, if we're going to, when we have money in our pocket, yes, it's nice to update that tractor. Yes, it's nice to update that combine. I won't disagree with that. But when we look at trying to invest back in ourselves, where can we get a return on our dollars? The first place, of course, is to look at that planter and look at, are you getting the population that you want? You know, are you getting it spaced correctly? All of these things. And monitors. If you don't have a monitor that you can tell what's going on, that's going to be something you're not able to make the decisions that maybe you should. We will have lower prices again.
Yeah.
And with the cost of inputs, lower prices could be $5 and make it a little tougher on guys. But at $6, $7 a bushel, that's leaving hopefully, you know, anywhere from $200 to $300 to $400 an acre on the table for the guy to use to improve their operation. You know, secondly, would I look at maybe updating a tractor or a combine or tillage? Tillage is probably another more important one to look at. First off, tillage is going to be a little better to get because you don't have the technology to get. You got iron. It's high priced, but you need to look at making sure your field is prepared properly.
Yeah.
If you're no, nothing wrong with that. Maybe look at your no-till colders. Look at your residue managers. What are you using for down pressure? And then, look at updating a tractor. Look at updating a combine. Take what you have currently, get it into the shop, and make sure that it is running properly. Don't be like everybody every other year. We wait till the very end. A lot of dealers, such as myself, we have buildings that will store your equipment, and we can work on it in the winter when we have a little more time.
Yeah. Well, and for those that have got to spend dollars by the year out, you know, there's places to do it, and those places can pay off significantly for you next year. One question is, considering the cost of inputs, particularly around nutrients, Is it a year to invest in some strategies to mitigate that? Possibly, you know, looking at if you have the geography to be utilizing more injected manure, people going to tilled in cover crops, things like that. Is that a viable place to put dollars?
Yes, absolutely. We've been doing manure management on our farm for many, many years. That has helped us right now to manage our input costs drastically. If it's available to you, consider it. Look at it. I know it stinks a little bit when they put it on, but, you know, that smell goes away in a few days. It
smells like money.
Exactly. But there are some other things out there that they need to be looking at. You know, I'm a believer in Pivot Bio. I think there are some other things. Micronutrients are very important. Making sure your ground is soil sampled properly, grit samples, a good fertilizer advisor, and making sure that you're keeping your fertility levels at the optimal level. I talked to a guy the other day. They have some hillier ground, and they were very happy putting their corn in at 28,000. And, you know, I looked at a really nice ear of corn they had. But when you did the math on it, it was only going to be around 190 bushel. Could they maybe increase their population? Maybe their ground won't take it. But knowing what your ground can and cannot do is going to be very important, because that extra 20, 30 bushel an acre can be the profit margin.
You know, I'm glad that you brought that up, talking about sampling and all of that. And we did get to see earlier this year some of Precision Planting's radical agronomy. Am I saying, is that what it is, radical agronomy?
I think that's the right term.
So can you tell us a little bit about that, your degree of familiarity with that? Because if I understand the idea correctly, we're talking about significantly more and better and better aligned samples, giving farmers more information about what's actually going on in the field.
Well, yes. I mean, for the most part, people know what types of soil they have. And as we get into the grid sampling and doing all these things, basically what we're trying to do is we're trying to manage that fertilizer to the types of soil, to the production on that ground. And if we're going to look at trying to improve production, this is not something that all of a sudden next year we're going to wave our magic wand and we're going to increase our production 20 bushel an acre. This is a process that takes years to develop. When my brother and I committed to this, we were in a situation that we were not happy with what we were doing. So we decided to make some changes. And I can tell you for a fact that it took us over 5 years to get our yields closer to where we want. Are we there? No. We still have some things to do. We are still looking at some management techniques, trying to fine-tune it a little further, you know, so that we can be viable for the future.
Well, you know, going into the end of the year, and you have, because of your dealership, you kind of have your pick of the lot. What's going to be your addition to the farm next year, besides another R62 with the solar glass package and the turret auger?
Well, it's funny you talk about that. Several years ago, when I couldn't get a 12-row planter that was a flex frame, I bought a rigid frame 12-row planter that we lit up with all the shutoffs and everything else and all ag leader ready, and we watch our screens and all that. We probably are going to look at updating our planter. Now, that being said, Jeff, it is next to impossible to find a new one, but I think I found a used one. And in our particular dealership, Kane and I have been watching the internet and every place else to see if we can find some. We are used to getting someplace between 20 and 30 planters ready in the winter for the following year, and we still want to be able to be in that category.
Yeah,
I have things to get planters ready, and I've got people to do it. So we want to do it, but we're probably going to update our planter.
Words to the wise. Get your planter in early this year. Don't wait till the end. As soon as that combine's parked, blow it. You know what? Get your combine in, too.
Well, exactly. To the point on that, we had some people that we had a customer that had some rock damage and think, you know, everything got busy. We knew about it a little earlier. We had talked with him. And then it got down to about 3 weeks before season and got it in, and now we were waiting for parts.
Yeah.
This part thing is not going away. I have talked, you know, we represent many different suppliers, as you're well aware. We are a multi-line dealership. We are AGCO, Massey Ferguson Gleaner, White Planters. We are New Holland. We do a lot with New Holland Hay Tools, skid loaders, some of their tractors, Massey tractors also, I didn't mention that. We are a Bobcat skid loader dealer. We are a Landall dealer. Everybody is having issues getting things to us. And from some of the people higher up, we'll just say, I'm not pointing any fingers at any company, I have been led to believe that this product shortage thing is not going away anytime soon. They are expecting this thing to last at least another 12 to 18 months.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you can get your hands on something, get your hands on it and be prepared to improve things, because if you're putting all of your chips down on the delivery of a new product, even if you have a promise date, you know, you gotta qualify that.
We ordered a new combine last July, and in October, when the guy got into his field and the yields were doing very well, he decided he wanted to go from a Class 6 to a Class 7. So I just wanted to change the order from a 96 to a 97.
Yeah.
They would not do it. Fortunately, I had ordered another combine, and we switched that last November to a retail order. Not here yet.
Goodness. Goodness.
And
well,
I'm not pointing the finger at AGCO or Gleaner. I can tell you, I know of people with red machines. I know of people with green machines that aren't seeing them. Is everybody a little frustrated? Yes, I understand that. But it's unfortunately the world we live in today.
Well, and there's a chance for people to just respond to reality. And what that reality may be is get your combine in and get some repairs, but get some upgrades, you know, depending on what you have. If you're driving around in the, R62 with the solar glass, there's been a lot of improvements since then. I mean, clearly not the cab because it's beautiful, but there's been a lot of other improvements other than that. And I even go for early S series combines, late R series combines. There's lots of things that can be done. And your discussion about technology, I mean, almost every single one of these can be upgraded with technology. And so that has got to be the thinking until we have very, very clear ideas of supply lines opening back up. And we're hearing of machines getting shipped. It's opening up. It's just don't put all your hopes and dreams on that. It may be a year to get that combine in the shop, to get that planter in the shop, and let the dealer go for it on it. Because, you know, because some of these some of these lightly used machines still got a lot of life in them, and they can work some magic with the right hands on them.
Well, to your point exactly, I don't care if you have an R50. We can put a monitor on it, and that monitor can be transferred to a newer machine when you decide to update it. And exactly, we're going to have to make some of this older equipment live another year or 2 years, whatever it may be. When you look at, it's interesting, you say like an R62, the one I'm in is like a 2000 model. So yeah, it's 22 years old, but it was one of the cleanest, nicest R62s I've had the privilege of running. And my own only had a couple thousand hours, and I thought it was a damn nice machine.
Yeah.
This one's a bit as good, and it's got 4,000 hours on it.
Yeah, well, it's a classic machine and a wonderful combine. And, you know, for me, one of the best combines that's out there is the S8 series from Gleaner, you know, and it was only made, 2 to 3 years?
Yep.
But if you look at over the timeline, particularly in the R6 series to where we are currently, really the combine with the largest, I mean, the S7 was obviously a big difference with the processor, but if you look at just the largest, the sheer number of improvements, it's probably going to be a 2014 S8 series, because that's where you have perforated cascade pan. You've got the lower clean grain cross auger. You've got, I'm pretty sure smart cooling was standard at that point. I mean, that's a heck of a combine. And so, you know, you're not paying the added price for the new electronics and all that, which are nice, but that's a heck of a combine. And there's probably good reason why they still command a pretty serious price.
Well, exactly. You look at what the new 9 series runs. I mean, we sold our Class 6 that came in, and, you know, you're talking about a combine at $350,000 on our serious cash price. List price is ungodly. But at the same token, that's the world we're going to be living in. We have to become accustomed to it. But you're right. That that 8 series combine. Last year when I ran that S68, I was just nothing but impressed by how quiet the cab was, how it ran, how I could put so much throughput. And then the unloading system.
Yeah.
You unload with an Class 8 combine, and then you go back to, an R62, and you're like, is it ever going to be empty?
I think I'll get a snack while this is while this is unloading. Anybody needs me, I'll be at the pickup.
Yeah, turn out the wagon because you got a hell of a mess. And
yeah, it is a major jump from that. And I remember when the S7 came out, and people would get in and turn on the fan, and they just blow grain out the back like a jet engine. And they hadn't realized that the fan was dramatically larger.
Yeah.
And so there's just all these things that have been upgraded. And that would be one thing that I would encourage our dear and wonderful R-Series combine owners out there, Gleaner R-Series. If you haven't been in an S-Series, it's a big difference. It's and you could go and pick up, there's always going to be someone out there that loves your R62. And they're gonna want that. Somebody out there wants your green striped Deutz, but you could go and pick you up an S7 or an S8 for a very respectable number, and it will completely change the harvest.
Exactly, and to our other colored operators out there, look at that cost after harvest. When you take your combine into the shop, what does it take to be ready for the next season? That's one place that Gleaner has excelled at for the last 30 years. They have always had less upkeep. You've got less moving parts. That all-natural flow really makes a big difference. Yes, I know they've given us hell and called us a silver seeder for years, but we are not that anymore. We are a very up-to-date, wonderful combine that hopefully puts dollars in your pocket.
Well, yeah, and the ability to get a Gleaner combine to near new performance it's not measured in the $15,000 or $20,000 range that we see with these competitors' combines. And not only that, and there's a reason for it. Some of these, you and I've seen this. You take a Gleaner out and deal with your helicals in a matter of moments using a skid steer, whereas some of the competitors, at least one, you got to take the cab off. And you have to tilt the combine so the rotor doesn't fall out. I mean, it's embarrassing how bad it is to access the inside of this thing. And, particularly with these older machines, are you really going to go in and put huge amounts of shop time into them? A lot of farmers want to be able to do this work themselves. And on that Gleaner combine, they can. For the most part, I mean, there's exceptions. But for the most part, they can install these upgrades. They can do these things to get the combine up to a higher performance level. And they just don't have that option in every other color.
Right. And many of these farmer shops are every bit as good or better than what we have. The other advantage they have is in my shop, I'm working on multiple pieces of equipment all the time with multiple employees. They can pull it into their shop and it's only them and their son or their employee. And they're working on one piece of equipment, and they can really concentrate on it.
Yeah, a lot of options.
Add to that, Jeff, that if you're out there doing something, consider talking to your local equipment dealer. And as you get into it, bring in that service tech. Every dealership in the world has that top service tech that have them come out there, have them spend a day with you. Sometimes they have those little ideas that save you time and money for getting that repair done timely.
They always do. That's just the value of time and wisdom. They've always got a smarter way to do stuff.
Yeah, it's repetition of the job. And they do it.
Yes, sir. Hey, Jay, thanks for joining us on the show today. A lot of really, really good content to share with the farmers out there. I really do appreciate you being on here today.
Jeff, as always, I always love talking with you. Look forward to talking to you again.
Yes, sir. I always feel a little smarter after talking to Jay. He really has a tremendous amount of knowledge about all things farming. I also hope you'll keep tuning in for more insight, discussion, and a few laughs. If you'd like to join us on the program and tell us about your harvest, just send us a message by connecting with us on social media. The Harvest Trail Podcast is a production of Agriculture Dealers United and brought to you by some of the best dealers in the business. You can find previous episodes on your favorite podcast platform or at theharvesttrailpodcast.com. The show is produced by Rich Williams, and I'm your host, Jeff Michaels. Until next time, may your fins overflow and the fuel bill stay reasonable. May the bean dust stay on the outside of the cab and the stalk stay out of the tires. May someone else have to blow out the radiator. Have a great, safe, enjoyable, and bountiful harvest from your friends right here at the Harvest Trail Podcast.